This week's episode is brought to you by your political party. Whatever it is, it's right and the other one is wrong.
Congratulations! Good stuff. Beer is good. Beer is good. Beer is good. Let's go drink some beer.
That song was like the song we listened to when we were like 19 and drinking beer illegally.
Yeah, and that was also back in the golden age of YouTube, where like putting actual effort into designing like animation was still like hard and expensive.
Yeah.
So everything was just, it was like,
just like
fucking
Windows
paint.
Movie Maker paint bullshit. Yeah. But it was so
stick figures on paint. What a time.
It was so great. Dude, I remember I used to make all those. I'd make each individual frame in paint and then bring it over to Windows Movie Maker. That was back when I really wanted to be an animator, and then I decided, oh, college for animation is expensive and I don't want to do that. Even though I should have, because animation is awesome and I love it. But anyway.
Nope. Wrong.
Oh, no.
No one cares about animation at all.
Oh.
Definitely, CGI definitely is not taking over the world.
Exactly. Anyway. Hello, welcome to the Hodgepodge Cast, the official podcast to CountryHodgepodge.com, newly redesigned CountryHodgepodge.com. It's a pretty sight now.
Skirt.
I'm your host, Steve Hodge, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, cousin, and lover, Kevin Hodge.
Oh.
Today we are going to be talking about the songs that are about the men who gave us our bad knees, bad backs, and beer guts, our dads. Because
yep.
Sunday is Father's Day, so we decided, we did the Mother's Day episode, now it's time for the Father's Day episode.
And also, heredity is a bitch.
Yeah, thanks for that, Dad. but and we're also going to talk about how Zach Brown's a little bitch, and Luke Combs is an opera member, but should he be? So first off, let's talk about some ZBB. So if anyone knows, did they win an award or something? I don't remember.
I think they won something.
Probably vocal group or something. But,
something
band
at the CMT. T?
T Awards.
A?
Yeah, because I remember
W?
I remember it was the CMT Awards because someone made the comment like, cool, you did your quote-unquote badass moment at the award show no one gives a shit about. But so if you didn't...
Yeah, I can't keep them straight.
Yeah, so if you didn't know, Zach Brown gave his speech and he ended it by saying on live TV, which was so controversial, he said, tell all your haters to fuck off. And while I agree with that statement, it's not the fact that he's this like country legend now and he's just like, everyone doesn't understand that this is country. It's the fact that no one likes what he's doing anymore and he's trying to stay relevant by being like, just tell him to fuck off. Like,
yeah, I agree exactly that the idea is correct to just do whatever you want to do, and anyone who doesn't, you know, agree can just fuck off because they don't really have a right to tell you what you can or can't create. But the reason that Zach Brown has kind of fallen off the face of the earth in terms of like popular opinion of him is because he stopped making country music, which is how he got popular in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And he started making like EDM, pop, rap, whatever type stuff.
Yeah.
But he makes bad versions of that.
Yeah.
So the pop EDM crowd doesn't give a shit about his music because it's not good pop EDM.
Yeah,
shit.
That's true.
And then he's not doing country anymore, so he's lost his country crowd, and so he's just in this middle ground, and you can't be like, you know, I'm a rebel artist, whatever the fuck. It's like, no one, you're in no man's land because you did this to yourself. Everyone loved your music when you got popular, like your first few albums, like you made great music.
Like, literally every single went number one.
So he can't just be like, you know, they just never appreciate him. He's like, no, we appreciated the fuck out of you. And then when you're like, he straight up said, I'm not made, like, this isn't country. Like when he made the Sir Roosevelt album, when he was like going into it, he said, this isn't country. It's not going on country radio, blah, blah, blah. And we're all like, cool, man, do you, but that's not what we like to listen to, so we don't care. And now he's like, well, the country people turned their back on me. It's like, yeah, you stop making country music.
Well, actually...
What the fuck?
Yeah, I agree with everything you just said, but actually, I liked the Sir Roosevelt. I think it's a good workout.
You're also wrong.
That's true. That's fine. But but no, it's they're doing the exact same thing that Ban Perry did. They started off with this amazing, like, they did... If I Die Young, and then they did Better Dig 2, and these were like two really good country songs, and then they just started going pop a little bit, and then so you lose the country crowd when you do that, and so you're trying to make it as a, you're trying, you know, Taylor Swift, you're trying to Taylor Swift it by going pop and try to get the mainstream, but then the mainstream doesn't grab onto that, and so you're like, so you kind of slink back into, oh, we're going to go back to our roots on our next album, which was that Welcome Home album or whatever.
Yeah, or and just
no
to
one
like
gave a shit because you already walked away from it.
Yes, and then he tried to like retcon his ideas of like, this is a completely new non-country project, and then it slinks back into, it's all the same shit, we're Zac Brown Band, why aren't you supporting us? And it's like, no. Yeah. No, no, no.
Yeah.
Also, I never liked the song Better Dig 2. I thought it was really stupid.
Well, I'm just saying it was it was the one that was popular in the country, and it was actually a country song. Like, it was... they had.
It was, but I very much disliked
it. No, I don't like it either. I just liked If I Die Young. That song's amazing. But
that is a good song.
No, I'm just saying, like, that was their thing, is that they were in the country realm, and then they said, like,
yes,
fuck this, let's go try something new, let's expand to a wider audience, and the wider audience didn't like it, just like with Jekyll and Hyde. It was a terrible fucking album by Zac Brown, and so they're like, oh, well, then I guess we'll go back to country, because they even made that announcement video, like, we're going back to our roots with this next one, and then it came out and people had already moved on from Zac Brown, like, eh, we don't really give a shit. And so he's just like, well, fine, then we're gonna do whatever we want now, and no one cares anymore. So he's just like, so he's just acting out like, no one loves us, what the...
Yeah. And the whole idea of him like specifically telling the haters to fuck off, like, I don't think there are these haters that he's like referring to. I think there's just a lot of people who are indifferent completely to his music now. Like, I don't think he's... I mean, maybe he is getting active, constant hate from people, and if he is, all right, what the fuck. But at the same time, like, I don't give a shit. I don't have an opinion, really, anymore.
We live in the internet age. Everyone's always somewhere getting hate somehow. Like, we get hated. True. We get hated by a dog on Twitter, so.
True, but, that is very true. But to be frank, hearing Zac Brown trending because he told the haters to fuck off was the first time I saw anything on the internet related to Zac Brown in a while.
It's true.
So, like, he made his own headline out of a thing that he, like, also created. Like, I had no idea about anything. Then all of a sudden, it's like, Zac Brown tells the haters to fuck off. I'm like, what?
Yeah, the last time I had heard, like, I had seen Zac Brown trending was when that Sir Roosevelt song got put on country radio, even though it was Something About You, I think, and it wasn't even meant to be a country song. I'm pretty sure he even publicly said, like, this isn't a country song.
That's what I was saying. Like, he said it. Like, he wasn't trying to be, like, full of shit. He was literally being like, hey, I've got this other thing that I'm making that I want to make, and it's not country, but... you know, I want to make it, here it is. And I was like, fine, man. I don't care for it, but that's, like, that's fine. It's not the kind of music I listen to. That's fine. And then to have it all come back around where he's, like, now pissed off at the country world for not embracing his hard departure from country music is like, what the fuck did you think was going to happen?
Yeah.
It'd be like if you moved to a new country and started, you know, being a hardcore British person, and you're just like, why are the Americans no longer a fan of me? It's like, why would we?
It's like that lady who left the country to go to ISIS, and now she's like, why doesn't America want me?
Why have they turned their back on me? I have no idea. I can't possibly figure that one out.
I cannot possibly fathom why being a treasonous ISIS member would make anyone mad at me. But yes. Oh yeah, so you said also that he has another new shitty song that he was like recording at a concert.
Whiskey Riff shared it because they've been so maybe they're the haters. They've been crapping on Zac Brown every time he's been releasing shit like that.
Surprising.
And so I clicked on the video, got about, I don't know, 20 seconds into it. I'm just like, nope, cannot do it. He was like singing a little bit, And then all of a sudden, he like stops, and then like the EDM shit starts, and then he just starts like talk rap singing. But it was like, it looked to me
stacks
like
on stacks.
No, but it legitimately looked to me like he didn't even give a shit about what he was saying. It looked like he was doing a monotone, like, I'm standing here, and I'm talking, and there's some noise in the background, and I'm standing here talking. And, like, the best part of the whole video, though, was the fact that, like, the whole band is still on stage, and none of them were doing anything.
Oh, my God.
So, like, the guitar player is just kind of, like, holding his guitar and, like, looking around.
Yeah, like, and, like, with these, like, EDM songs and shit that they do, what does the band do? They're a 7-piece band. They have a fiddle player. Like, what does he do during
they
those
keep
songs?
They keep adding pieces.
Yeah.
They keep adding pieces and removing instruments from the recording.
Yeah, I really don't. I just, they're having an identity crisis. That's what's fucking happening. They don't know what they are anymore. And, yeah. And like, yeah, like we've said so many times, it sucks because their first two albums are genuinely some of the best country albums that have been released in the last 10, 20 years, whenever they came out. Like,
they were very good.
Like, The Foundation and You Get What You Give are amazing country albums that really don't have bad songs on them. Like, their worst song is, like, Sick 'Em on a Chicken, and that's not even meant to be, like, a in-depth song. Like,
I don't know what you're talking about. That song spoke to me on a spiritual level.
True. It's true. It's going to be my first dance at my wedding. That'd actually be fucking hilarious if someone, like, no, Mr. and Mrs. Johnson will share their first dance. Sick 'em on a chicken.
And then they're just still slow dancing the whole time, just nice and slow.
I'm going to have to let Megan know. She's going to dump me.
And that's how you get rid of a wedding.
Yeah, exactly. See, if you have cold feet, just say you're going to play Sick 'em on a Chicken. anyway, moving on. Luke Combs was officially made a member of the Opry by, who was it? Craig Morgan, that fucking wanna buy a boat guy and another person. I can't remember who it was.
Chris Jansen and somebody else.
Yeah. So he got inducted into the Opry Hall of Fame. God damn it. Yeah. He got inducted into the Opry.
The Hall of Opry.
The Hall of Opry fame. Shame. And I'm very split on this one because I like that they're kind of having an actual country artist who's mainstream be invited, but he's been around for 3 years popularly.
Yeah, I am also conflicted, but kind of for a different reason. I kind of look at it the way that I looked at his like first album, where I was like, okay, as a standalone thing, I can feel this way about it. But what does this mean for the future? So if this is one of those things where it's like all they're doing is just capitalizing on his like huge, you know, skyrocketing fame.
Yeah, that he's had five number ones in a row.
Yeah, I think that's really dumb. But if this is meaning like, hey, we're going to stop doing shit like bring Chewbacca Mom on stage and have all these other shitty people play on stage, we're actually going to get back to country music, then I really like the move as, like, the start to that. And so that's where I'm kind of like, I don't really know how to feel. I'm really excited. I'm sure we'll talk about it later on about just his EP in general.
Yeah.
I'm really excited about him proving to me that he's still going to give me music that I absolutely love. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I feel really good about that. And that's why him getting this nod, I think, is really cool. But again, like you said, he's not been around for all that long.
He has one album.
There's a pile of artists who should be, you know, if we're going to, and that's all the other thing is, if we're going to say that the Opry means anything, which I'm kind of in the position now where, like, I really don't give a fuck about it at all. But if we're going to say that it's an awesome thing that matters, it's kind of weird that they're just like, oh, this guy skyrocketed up, let's put him in right now,
like,
rather than all these other bands. And that's where I'm like, I don't even fucking know.
Yeah, anymore. To me, it's like fucking if Baker Mayfield just quit the NFL today, and in 5 years he was in the Hall of Fame. Like,
oh yeah,
it's like
that's
did he
if
earn
we
it
if we want to
like,
if we want to bring it back around to things that piss me off until the end of the universe, the infernal St. Louis Blues have won a Stanley Cup championship, and the nonsense has already begun. I saw shit like Tarasenko is better than Kane, but the thing that you just said that made me think of it was there are people out there saying that their goalie for the Blues, who is a rookie and didn't even play this entire year, is a Hall of Famer now.
Jesus.
And I'm like, that's not how this works. The fucking old person fucking Geico commercial or whatever, Progressive commercial. That's not how this works. That's not how any of this works. God damn it.
Yeah, that's just dumb fan bases, though, because it was the same with the fucking Hawks. Like, every single year, it's the backup is better. Play the backup.
And I'm not saying that, like, you know, I'm just really rotating back to the
Blues,
you know. Well, I hate them so much. But just the nonsense of, like, having a short window of
success.
Even if that success is, like, really high level.
Yeah.
It's so premature just to be like, this is the great... Like, it's like if a movie comes out and it's really good, it's like, this is the greatest movie of all time. Then this is the greatest movie of all time. It's like, let's just chill for a fucking second. Let it breathe.
Yeah.
See Infinity what happens. That's the people. Reason... Well, that's the reason why... That's the reason why Hall of Fames exist is because it's supposed to be an entire body of work. And I feel like, especially in sports nowadays, fucking commentators love... doing the whole
hyperbolic,
this is a future
thing.
Future Hall of Famer, yeah. Future Hall of Famer, future Hall of Famer. It's like, you guys, like, that used to be a thing that they'd reserve for someone who's like, yeah, this dude's about to retire and he's definitely going to be a Hall of Famer. Mm-hmm. And now they just start throwing it
like
out there
rookie
constantly.
Year. Like they said about Mahomes during his first
and
few
Mahomes
games.
Looks incredible and already has an MVP after one full season. Yes, that is incredible. And it certainly looks like in 20 years he should be in the Hall of Fame. However, if he gets Joe Namath or Joe Theismann literally game one next year and never plays another snap, he's not going in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
So stop it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's so that, yeah, that's just the thing with Luke Combs getting back to it is
I forgot, like, where we started.
Like, we've been listening to him now for 4 years. Like, we started in about 2015, I believe, is when we started listening to him because it was a little before Hurricane came out. And so we've been following him really closely for about 4 years, but he's been in the mainstream eye for less than three. And
yes,
so the fact that he's already this Hall of Fame invite, or god damn it, I keep saying that, Opry inductee, I don't know, it's
one who has been invited.
Yeah. And how many times has he played the Opry stage? Like, I'm not like being like a dick, I genuinely don't know. Like, I know he's played it a few times at least because I've seen pictures, but it's like, does, like, Carly Pierce, at least she played like every other week. Like, she was always on the, she played many times a year.
Yeah.
But,
and, you know, furthering that point about, you know, him, how much has he played there, et cetera. I don't really know all that much about the Opry and its history of inducting people and how long they've had to wait, so I'm not even, like, trying to make a grand point. Like, someone could be yelling at their fucking iPhone deal right now, like, yeah, well, this and this got inducted, and that made sense. I was like, you know, I don't really know. I don't really give a shit. I just want to know what this means going forward.
Yeah.
Are they going to legitimately care about country music and be something that's worth caring about, or next week when Sam Hunt releases a new album, they're going to be like, come on down. Like, what what are we going to do?
It's like with that Rhett album that got released, and someone was like, this is just proof that people miss Sam Hunt. And it's just like, what? Like, that's actually the one thing I was thinking about on the drive home today, because I was listening to the list that we're going to be talking about today, and one of Luke Combs' songs, spoiler alert, is on it. And it came on, and I was just like, when his EP came out, it had, like, on iTunes or on Apple Music, it'll have a star next to it if it's, like, the popular song from the album. And Even Though I'm Leaving is the one that has the star next to it. Like, it's the most popular on the EP. He even tweeted out, like, what's your favorite from the EP? And had a poll, and that one won, was winning at, when I looked at it.
I voted for that one.
Yeah, and so I'm like, the one thing I'm thinking, though, is, and I've seen people when he got inducted saying, like, country music is alive and well. So it's like, so all I was thinking is, like we said, we've said this 1,000 times, people are craving authenticity, because even though I'm Leaving, it is an amazing song, which we'll talk about in a bit, but like, so that's the people want people like Luke Combs, which is why he's so fucking popular, because he has an amazing voice. He's an average looking dude, below average to some, and he just sings well. Like, he does country music for the most part.
Incredibly well, he can sing.
Yeah,
just so good.
Yeah, so I don't know. It's just weird that he's inducted already, but
yeah,
whatever.
I agree.
So yeah, let's move on to our topic for the week. It's Father's Day on Sunday. If you're listening to this before Sunday, then you know this. If you're listening after, you missed it, you fucks. Call your dad right now. Tell him you love him. So we're going to do...
Oh, God, why?
So I was looking up all these songs about, like, dads and all that. And like, oh, well, what can we do? And just like how we did some from the perspective of the mother or for the mother with mothers, we're going to have from the dad or to the dad. And then even some that are like, dad kind of messed up a little, but we still love him. And
yeah.
So it's all different types, but it's all songs about dad. And we love our Fargers, so...
Farger.
We're doing this one about them. So you just want to hop into the thing? Top 15?
Let's do it.
All right. Number 15. It's top 15 this week, people. Is Trent Tomlinson's One Wing in the Fire.
I know he lives a little left of living right. And he's come close to going way too far a few times. But I'd trade 1,000 prayers if just one prayer would come true. Lord, please believe in him like I believe in you.
Daddy's always so this is one of those that I was, like I was saying before, about 30 seconds ago, is that some of them
earlier back in the previous decade,
some of them are going to be about like kind of dad tried his hardest but he wasn't really the greatest, and that's kind of what One Wing in the Fire is, where he's like, he's an angel, like the line is, he's an angel with no halo and one wing in the fire, so he's not this perfect being, but he's trying his hardest to be the best dad that he can be.
And exactly, and and also kind of a constant theme in country music about the idea of just like the devil grabbing a hold, and like kind of one of those things where it's like they don't want to be a bad person, they just have demons that affect them. And I think that's the idea of them still being an angel but having a wing in the fire, rather than being like, he's a demon with a halo, and like It's the other way around, so that it's still like, you know, he's a good person on the inside, but like, just there's just issues, and you know, he's trying.
He's a demon with no wiener and one ball in the flames,
and one ball in the sky.
But yeah, so it's a song like we said about an imperfect father, but he's trying his heart. He's trying his damnedest.
God damn it!
Next up is number 14, Zac Brown Band's Mild Man.
He knew how to lift me up, when to let me fall. Looking back, he always had a plan. My old man, my old man. Feel the callus on his hand. Dusty overall, my old man. Now I finally understand. I have a lot to learn from my old man.
Speaking of bitchy McBitch man.
Yeah, so it's kind of funny that we just shit talking, but this is actually from their last album, which is the country album, but it's it without their history, you know, being mentioned or whatever. It's a fantastic song that's just a complete, like, my dad helped shape the man I am and kind of song. And it is just a beautiful song sung about my old man, you know, so.
Yeah, exactly. It is also a perfect reminder to me of, like, oh, yeah, Remember when Zach Brown did this?
Yeah.
And it was awesome.
Yeah, it's so sad to, like, and that's the kind of the thing, you know, side tangent going back is with Luke Combs is, like, there's a chance he could be a Zach Brown where he starts off his career with all these number ones, everyone loves his first few albums, and then he could go absolutely shit, batshit crazy and say, like, I want to sing this, and then everyone would be like, hey, remember when Luke Combs was a country artist? Like,
yep. Or could be a fucking Taylor Swift and then successfully transitions into some other completely different thing. Yeah. And then we have to be like, all right.
Okay, bye. Goodbye. It was nice to know you. But yeah, but this song itself is a fantastic song about his dad, and it's just a gorgeous one that I wish. That's why I did put it at 14 because I was like, it's a great song about dads and it could be ranked higher, but kind of fuck him right now. And
oh yeah, and that's exactly what happens in my brain when I think about, you know, I mean, as shitty as this is going to sound, it is now accurate that in the same vein as people like fucking Jason Aldean and Luke Bryan, it pains me to even listen to their good stuff because of the fact that it just reminds me of how much I am disappointed.
Well, yeah, it's like when we were talking about Rodney Atkin's new album. You're like, I heard the one song and I thought he's dead to me. And I was just like, yeah.
Yeah. It's just, I end up getting legitimately pissed off and I can't even enjoy the thing. It's nonsense. I understand that, but
it's harder. It's harder for me to listen to old Luke Bryan, but it's not that hard for me to listen to old Jason Aldean because his older songs are so good. Like, but so I can still listen to those. But I do get what you're saying. Is it gives you kind of that bad taste of like, oh, I used to like him. Like,
well, and as soon as there's a gap in the music, all I hear is the fucking burning it down shit. I'm just like, this motherfucker.
Hey, he likes arson. Don't hate.
he did arson to country music, that fucker.
That's true. That's very true. Anyway, next up is number 13, Wade Bowen's Daddy and the Devil.
Devil that'll hold on daddy's hand. We never had a straight and narrow plan. Down a dark and dead end road they ran. Devil that'll hold on daddy's hand. Soul and he took his pride, but the devil still ain't satisfied. We all cried the day he died. Daddy and the devil walked side by side.
This is another one just like One Wing in the Fire, where
yep,
it's about a, like, this one is very, how you kind of said, it's like the devil grabbing a hold of him. Like, that's exactly what the song is. It's just like, he never wanted to be an alcoholic. He never wanted to do this, but the devil just had a grip on him. And so daddy and the devil walk side by side. And like,
exactly. The idea of the addictive personality having issues with different things and just having that take over their life.
Yeah.
Is super sad, and but also a really goddamn good song.
Yeah, I was debating not including this one purely because it is
it's pretty much a downer the whole time.
Yeah, like there's no really like, dad taught me to be nice even though he's bad. Like
he just dies.
It's just a downer, but yeah. But it is a fantastic song, and that's why I included it.
It
so.
Is. It absolutely is.
But yeah, so 15 through 13 were just ones that I was like, oh, those are, we'll round off the list with those, but moving on from now, there are still some sadder ones, but they're all good about dad. Next is number 12, Brad Paisley's Anything Like Me.
And I thought heaven help us if he's anything like me. He'd probably climb a tree too tall and ride his bike too fast. End up every summer wearing something in a cast. He's gonna throw a ball and break some glass in a window down the street. He's gonna get in trouble, he's gonna get in fights. I'm gonna lose my temper and some sleep. It's safe to say that I'm gonna get my payback if he's anything like me.
So this is one where it's from the perspective of the dad, not the other way around. But it's such a great song of, like, oh, shit, this kid's going to have half my genetics, and if he's anything like me, he's going to mess up this way, he's going to mess up that way, he's going to angry this way. And it's just, it's back when I loved everything Brad Paisley was putting out. Now it's more of, he's like 50-50 with me. But because this one was from American Saturday Night, which was a fantastic album.
Yep. And it was a song that made me feel like this is like quintessential throwback Paisley song, you know, where he gets the humor in there. He gets the super heartfelt in there. Like I had a revelation the other day that good Brad Paisley songs are like Pixar movies.
Yeah, that's true.
That's how I feel about that. That is true. Like, it's always got like a lot of the good ones. They all have this like family friendly feel to them,
which is,
but they can simultaneously rip your heart out and make you cry, but then in a really good way, and also have this humor that's like legitimately funny.
Which is actually kind of funny in a way that he actually had songs that were featured on the Car soundtracks, which are Pixar movies.
Oh yeah, he did, didn't he?
Yeah, but no, that's very true. That Brad Paisley, his first many albums, like his first five or six or so, they were all really good,
all the way
very heartfelt.
Through,
this
like
is
all the way through
music.
American. Yeah. I was going to say all the way through American Saturday Night, and then, yeah.
This is country music, and then I think it was Wheelhouse, Moonshine in the Trunk, and Love and War, I think have been all the ones since.
Yeah, definitely in my brain, he stopped making music after This is Country Music.
Yeah, I mean, those ones...
I understand that he has good songs in there.
Like, those ones all have really good songs, but they also have ones that I'm just like, good.
Exactly.
Even though nothing will ever top Accidental Racist. As the best song ever.
I'm just saying, LL Cool J gave the white man a killer deal.
Yeah. You forgive my gold chains, I'll forget the iron chains.
The fact that Paisley wasn't just like, deal. I don't understand it.
I love that fucking SNL sketch where it's like, we did it! We cured racism!
We cured racism! And then they're like, it's talking to Kenan Thompson, and it's like, you said this? He's just like, I said what?
So great. I love it.
I might be dying.
R.I.P. in peace.
For real this time.
Okay. Well, let's get this list done first, and then you can die.
I'm not gonna make it.
Number 11 is Matt Stillwell's Hey Dad.
I'd say, hey, Dad, it's me, Dad. Just wanted to tell you that I miss you bad. He'd make me laugh like he always did. Before he'd say goodbye, he'd leave me with this. Go on, boy, be strong, boy. Don't you shed a tear for me, boy. I had a good life, one hell of a run. It's alright, I love you, son.
This is one of those that's such a gut punch of how sad this is, but it's so beautiful at the same time, where it's him talking to his dad who had already passed away, and he's like, I just want to let you know that the kids are doing fine, and then I just know that if you were here, you'd tell me to like kind of buck up and, you know, don't let this get to me. And
this is a song, and literally, like, as you were just saying the lyrics, I had the fucking chill go back up my spine. This is a song that I legitimately don't listen to that much, because of the fact that it is so powerful that whenever I listen to it, I'm just like, yeah.
Yeah, like, I don't want to bring my friend into this because he doesn't need that spotlight. So I'm not going to say his name, but my buddy from college lost his dad. And I remember he posted this song on Facebook. He's like, "This song, how would this song not murder me? Or like, how would this song not break my heart?" And I was just like, that's not a great one to listen to if you've lost your dad.
It is so incredibly, and like, this is... like, this is kind of what country music is all about, is this kind of song that is so real that people who listen to it don't know Matt Stillwell personally at all, don't know his situation or his dad or anything like that, but the words are so true that anyone who's gone through this situation, or really just anyone with a dad, can just feel, you just feel so many things, and it's amazing that just... he can do that.
I mean, it's because, like, the lyrics aren't even like that. Like, the chorus, it's, hey, Dad, it's me, Dad, just want to let you know that I miss you bad. Like, it's not even like that, like, amazingly poetic of a lyric, but you know, like the way he sings it, it's so sincere. Yes. And
it, you feel it.
I can't remember. You feel it. I can't remember if we said this on the What Country Means to Us episode, but country music is a lot more in depth than people give it credit for. Like, people are always like, it's dogs, it's trucks, it's beer. It's like, if you really listen to it, it's like,
yes,
it's like how Travis Tritt just recently was on that interview, and they're like, what do you say to the people who say, like, country music needs to evolve? He goes, yeah, sounds can change and everything, but in my experience, people still feel love and heartbreak. Like, that's not different, so why is that gone? Like, yeah, it's still music you can connect to. And that's exactly what this song is the song you can connect to, like, perfectly.
Yeah. I thought about, I had a tweet all ready to fire off yesterday, and I decided not to because I didn't care. but I was thinking about the, I don't know how familiar you are, you have to be at least a little bit, the Jimmy Valvano speech at the ESPYs back in the, whatever that was, 90s, I think. He was a college basketball coach who had cancer, and they gave him like a, they gave him some sort of like lifetime, you know, award type deal. And he gave this speech, and it was one of, it's like one of the best speeches you could ever listen to. Like, seriously, check it out if you're not aware of it. But what he said in the speech was, every single day you should laugh, you should think, and you should be moved to tears. Because if you do those three things in a single day, that's a full day. And so he just talked about, you know, what it's like to just live and like appreciate life. I mean, he was dying of cancer.
Yeah.
And I thought about that, and I was like, that is what I think about when I think about the things I love about country music. Mm-hmm. Is I love when it makes me think. I love when it makes me fucking cry. And then there's still, like, laughing is good, and it's okay. But right now, instead of having these three pillars that are equally holding up this awesomeness that is country music, the fucking laughter and nonsense one is fucking Sears Tower tall, and you've got a couple, like, trailer park-sized think and cry.
Yeah. Like, and yeah, that's the thing is, and you can, like we said, even with Paisley, you can get all three of those, but, like, I was thinking recently, because I was like, I know there's a song that made me laugh the other day, but I can't remember what it was, and then I remembered it was, wasn't the other day, it was when I first listened to Lowdown Drifters and the song Last Night in, or, yeah, Last Night in Denver.
Yeah.
That song genuinely made me laugh out,
my car.
Yeah, it genuinely made me laugh out loud while I was driving to work listening to it, and I was just like, I love, yeah, music can make you do all that. Obviously, we talk about the sad songs all the time, so we get the feels all the time with the music, and it makes you think and everything. But, yeah, it should have that, like, trifecta of feelings where instead of it just being, like, the forget about life and drink kind of songs.
Exactly. And that's where, like, we always say that it's not that there's anything wrong with songs that make you feel happy and are stupid and have no making you think at all. It's just that if all you do is focus on this, you know, lighthearted, absolutely no thought beyond partying, you're just missing out on so much of the range of just the human experience to get fucking deep, bro.
Which was, like we said, with this next song, which is number 10, Luke Combs, Even Though I'm Leaving.
Just 'cause I'm leaving, it don't mean it. I won't be right by your side. See me in the middle of the night. Just close your eyes and say a prayer. It's okay, I know you're scared when I'm not here, but I'll always be right there. Even though I'm leaving, I ain't going nowhere.
This song was just released on his EP last week, and it's like we were just saying when we were talking about him, is that people are craving this authenticity because this song is the favorite song off. It's the most played song off that EP, and it's the most real one, where it's a song about a kid who's scared in his room, and the dad's like, even though I'm leaving, I'm still here for you. Like, I'm going to be here for you. And then it's him, I think, going off to war.
Going off to war.
And then he's like, even though you're leaving, I'm going to be there for you. And then it's when he's past, his dad's, you know, at his deathbed, and he's just like, even though I'm leaving, I'm going to be here with you. And it's like, the one thing,
it's so incredible. This is one of the better songs I've heard in a little while, just period. And also, I am such a sucker for songs like this with the, like, three-part things that changes between the
where it tells the whole life of the story kind of thing.
Exactly. Yeah. I am such a sucker for songs like this, so I was like, oh, this is so good.
Yeah, and honestly, as of right now, I think this is my second favorite song his behind the original version of She Got the Best of Me.
Yeah.
Like, I think I like this better than Hurricane.
Top three. It definitely is. Because Used to You is also incredible.
Oh, yeah, Used to You, of course. But yeah.
So it's like, you know, somewhere in there.
Yeah, so it's... To say it again, yeah, people crave authenticity. They love this song, and like this isn't Beer Never Broke My Heart. It's not Moon Over Mexico or whatever. It's not Lonely One. It's not whatever Beer Can. This is like a sad song, a heartfelt song. My only criticism of this song is I realized while listening to it, Luke Combs only has one way to sing. It's just that hard, like.
He does the lighter, and then he just gets into it.
Yeah, like he doesn't like it's a when he gets the part about his dad passing away, he's just like he's still singing in that same Luke Combs voice. It doesn't get like soft or sincere. It's just like. but it still is an amazing song and
yes.
So this is what we're saying. We can even get into it a little more when we get to the albums that came out last week. But number nine is Rodney Atkins' Watching You.
He said, I've been watching you. That ain't that cool. I'm your buckaroo. I want to be like you and eat all my food and grow as tall as you are. We got cowboy boots and camo pants. Yeah, we're just alike. Hey, ain't we, Dad? I wanna do everything you do. So I've been watching you.
This is another one from the perspective of the dad, and it's just this, back when Rodney Atkins was amazing, is it's this
gorgeous... What a time that
yeah,
was.
Yeah, it's just this awesome country song about, like, he's like, his dad, his kid swears, he's like, where'd you learn that? He goes, from you. Like, I got this from you.
I've been watching you, Dad. And that's the other, I mean, this is, like I was just saying, the three-part life of the story. I am dying. The death of the story. No, the start, you know, it starts off with the funny things, and it's just like, you know, the kid learns the story. He's like, oh, shit. Yeah. But then the kid's like, you know, I'm just, you know, I want to be just like you. And he's like, oh, shit, I'm teaching
like
him all the bad things.
We both love to hold mom's hand. We like wearing boots and jeans. And and then, yeah.
And then it
cuts to him.
Yes.
Yeah, where he's like praying. And it's just like, I learned how to pray from you and all that. And it's, yeah.
And he's like, I guess I did an all right job, which is just, it's just nice. I love it.
It's an amazing, yeah. Rodney Atkins used to be one of my favorite artists out there. And now he's just. He exists.
Yeah, R.I.P.
But yeah, anyway, number four is, or eight, I'm an idiot. Number eight is Cole Swindell's Dad's Old Number.
The guy that used to pick up, he could fix anything. Sometimes I forget these 10 digits ain't my lifeline anymore. Every now and then I dial them up when life gets tough. Sorry about the wandering hang-ups, early morning and late night wake-ups. It was just me, in case you wonder. You've got Dad's old number.
Excuse me, it's Cole Seinfeld. Yeah.
I didn't realize until I sent you the list that my phone auto-corrected Swindell to Seinfeld, so it says Cole Seinfeld.
Dad's old number! What's up with that?
I called Dad's old number and some lady picked up! Oh!
Don't you hate it when you call the number?
When your dad's dead and you call his number and some lady picks up! But anyway, to get serious with it, this song is another one of those, like, hey dads, where it's about a dad who passed away, but, so it, like, the line is like, I don't have my old lifeline anymore, like, I call this number, and he, like, the lady answers, like, please don't hang up, I'm not a telemarketer, I just want to let you know, this used to be my dad's number, and it's where I used to go when I needed someone to talk to, if the Braves were winning, or we had to, you know, he was always there for me, and it's just weird that he's not anymore. So it's like, I just have to call Dad's old number to, you know, kind of get that feeling again. And I mean, we give Cole Swindell a lot. I mean, we usually don't give him a lot of shit because we don't talk about him because we forget about him. But he's one of those where he has some fantastic songs like this one or Break Up in the End, which are both amazing songs. And then he has obviously his popular songs, which aren't good. But it's just crazy that he can have this amazing of a song. It's just like how on the Mother's Day one, we had a Lorna Lena song on the list, like, who was terrible, but she had that amazing song about her mom. And so Cole Swindell has this awesome song about his dad. It's just like, why can't you always do this?
Yes, exactly. And I feel like, I guess I don't know how this one did in terms of radio performance or anything like that, but I know that Break Up in the End did well. Mm-hmm. Like, people,
I think
really
that one went number one, actually. I could be wrong.
So that's like exactly what we've been talking about, like, kind of this whole time. Like, people want the good stuff.
Yeah.
And for some reason, Nashville's like, what if we don't give it to them? I don't understand it.
I'm looking up Dad's old number, see if it has, like, a Wikipedia page and everything.
Wikipedia.
No, actually, I did see, though, now that I Googled it, I'm seeing all these articles about it. He's actually, apparently he just sang the song at Joe's Live in Rosemont recently, and mm-hmm. he's releasing a live version of this song. So it's obvious that people like it because he's releasing it again, so that's pretty cool. But yeah, it's get back to it quickly before we move on. Yeah, it's just an amazing, like, depressing as hell, but it's so good, just about a guy who's lost his dad. And actually, I think another one of my friends who lost her dad was shared this on Instagram once, and was just like, wow, this hits too close to home.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so it's an amazing song. Next God damn it, I spelled it wrong. number 7, Conway Twitty, That's My Job.
Daddy, I'm so afraid. How will I go on with you gone that way? Don't want to cry anymore, so may I stay with you? And he said, that's my job. That's what I do. Everything I do is because of you, to keep you safe with me. That's my job, you see.
So
I legitimately didn't even notice that until right now either. Well done.
So instead of Conway Twitty, I wrote Conway's Titty.
And that is my job. Okay, so this is an incredible fucking classic from Conway.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely love this song because, like I've said before, I am an absolute sucker for these multi-part songs, and I'm an absolute sucker for any sort of good dad song. I love them. They make me feel great things and just fucking feel great things. I think that's about the best way to say it. So this one, it starts with, like, he wakes up, he's a kid, he wakes up in the middle of the night, run into his, you know, parents' room because he's just, like, afraid of, like, the monsters are going to get him or whatever. And then his dad just, like, talks about, like, I'm here to protect you and, like, be there for you. Like, that's my job. And then when it gets to the end, no, fucking haven't really listened to this song in a little while. I'm trying to think of, there's a part where it's, I think there's a part where he's getting married and he doesn't know what to do. And then I think there's a part at the end where his dad has passed away. And then he's got to, like, be strong for his child or something like that. And if I'm mm-hmm. fucking it up, I feel bad and I'm sorry. But it's a beautiful song. And the whole idea is it's, you know, that's my job. It's what I do. You know, everything I do is because of you. And so just, like, the dad talking to their son, like, literally my job is to protect you and be there for you. Everything I do is because of you, you know, to keep you here with me. And it's just a nice song back in the day. I have no idea even what year this was released.
2006.
It's good. Ah, shortly after Conway's death in, like, fucking 85 or some shit.
Well, it's definitely not 85.
Well, when did Conway die?
This song came out in 87. So
when did Conway die?
Let's
is see. He not dead yet? That would be remarkable.
He's definitely dead. 93 he died.
Oh, how about that?
He was 59. Damn.
Oh. Oh, He could still be alive if he didn't do probably.
I just knew he wasn't alive because he's never been at any like country thing I've watched.
True.
But yeah, it's a great song, and it's just one of those like got to be strong for your kids type thing, and it's really good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Number six is George Strait's "Love Without End." Amen.
And he said, "Let me tell you a secret about a father's love, a secret that my daddy said was just between us." He said, "Daddies don't just love their children every now and then. It's a love without end, amen. It's a love without end, amen."
This song is just so upbeat and happy, and I love it, even though it's another one of those where it's like multiple stories where it's he comes home with a shiner on his eye and he's just like, "I gotta lie," but the dad's like, "No, I love you anyway, don't lie to me." And then it's the same,
"But also I'm gonna hit you with this belt."
"But also get over here." But then at the end it's like he's passed away and he's going up to heaven. He's just like, "Well, if they know the shit I did in real life, they're not going to let me in." It's just like, "No, God loves you anyway. It's love without end, amen." Like, and it's King George. And actually, I was looking at the number ones for this week's segment later, and this song was actually number one this week in 1990. But I decided to not have that be the one later because we're talking about it now, so... But yeah, it's really cool that it's... Okay, moving on.
No, it is incredible. I love this song. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it similar themes, and you basically spelled it out. So yeah, it's great.
Number five is Mike Moonpie and the Moonpies' Steak Night at the Prairie Rose.
Down to Steak Night at the Prairie Rose, a cover band from 10 to close.
And I love this. I mean, of course we love the song we're fucking talking about. I need to look up the lyrics really quickly because they're
love. It tears my heart out because it's, again, with the three parts and the transitioning through the story. You know, he talks about when he's a kid going to this place
called
the Prairie Rose on steak night with his dad. And he also talks about how his, like, parents had issues and, like, split up or whatever. So, like... Yeah. His you know, bonding time with his dad. And then he talks about, like, his dad has a beard, he has a Coke, and then, you know, his dad says to him, like, you know, points up to the band that's playing and says, "I'm going to see you up there someday." And then it tears my heart out when it gets to the end.
Where
he's
there
talking
by himself.
About, well, he's talking about, yeah, he's there by himself, and he's talking about just, like, you know, "I raise my bottle to the sky and say, I'm going to see you up there someday," because his dad's passed away and he's talking about heaven. And every time it gets to that part, I'm like,
yeah. Yeah, it's an... Oh. It's
and, like, sonically, this is one of my favorite songs just in terms of, like, how it sounds. I
just
love
the guitar
it.
With the do-do-do-do-do.
Yeah, it's just so country and so nice, and I just really like it. God, it's good.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, I do love this song. The first time I heard it, I just thought it was like a... Like, because knowing me, I just kind of go through songs every once in a while, and I don't really catch the meanings of them. So I was just like, oh, it's a song about a guy and his dad going to, you know, the steak night. But when I really listened to it and I heard that last verse where it's like pointing up to heaven, being like, "I'm going to see you up there someday," she's like, oh.
Yeah.
Ooh, that is,
yeah,
that is deep.
And that's what it's all about.
Yeah. Number four is Craig Campbell's My Little Cowboy.
I was about to give up on that old bale of hay when from the front porch I heard my dad say, "My little cowboy, you make me so proud. Don't give up now, 'cause I know that someday
This is back when we used to love Craig Campbell because his music was always super country and super great. And
yeah, basically, before he took the hat off.
It's always they take the hat off,
yep,
and it all goes to shit.
They take the hat off, and everything goes just fucked, and it's really sad. But that's literally what it is.
Yeah.
This is definitely one of my favorites. I mean, this is my probably, I don't know if it's my absolute favorite Craig Campbell, but it's fucking right up there.
Yeah, it's up there. I think might be my favorite from him.
Yeah. But like I have been saying, such a sucker for these you know, dad songs that just, you know, and so this is from his perspective about, like, you know, his kid
it's about
his kid. But I just love, like, he talks about just, you know, his dad is just super proud of him, even though shit doesn't always work out.
Like, when he's a kid, he can't lift this bale of hay because it's too heavy. And then when it's his kid, he gets sacked 3 times in a row. And he's just like, my little cowboy, I got you,
he's
got
trying
this.
To, like, and, like, isn't he, like, trying to rope a fake deal?
Yeah, he's trying to lasso
like
something.
Yeah, you know? But, like, he can't do it, and he's feeling dejected. And so then that's when his dad comes out and just, like, I'm, you know, that's my little cowboy. You make me so proud, boy. And gives him that motivation and just helps him.
The mid-verse.
Nice.
The middle verse is the one where it's like, I'm going to give up on this country music dream
yes.
of mine. And he's just like, no, get back up on that stage and do it again. Like, I believe in you. And it's just this awesome song about just a dad being there for his kid, always being like, I'm not giving up on you. You're going to do
exactly.
this. I believe that you can do what
yes.
you want to do.
Always being supportive. And it's just, yeah, it's real nice. And I very much enjoy it.
Yeah. Number 3 is another man who lost the cowboy hat. Is
God damn it. Put the hat back on.
Chris Young's Flashlight.
The best ones are those nights. Just me and my dad. He'll never know how much he taught me out in that garage. And I guess the stuff that stuck was more about life than fixing cars. Cause to this day I still can't make them run right. But I sure did learn a lot just holding the flashlight.
Turns out the Monstars come and take all of your country music away when you take,
when
your, hat
take
off.
Your hat. Even though actually this one was his first album, he didn't have the hat on, and it was still good. It was very slowly after that his Monstar power went away.
I refuse to believe it. This was off his first album.
But yeah, so this song, it's just this fantastic song. If you don't know, go back and listen to our Chris Young episode that we did a long time ago. We've actually done episodes about almost all these people. But
yeah,
how
about that?
Yeah, so this song, it's about a kid who, it's like every time the sun went down, I'd be out there in the garage with my dad, and he'd be working on the car, and he'd be, you know, talking to me about this, that, and the other thing while we're working on the car, and I was just sitting there holding the flashlight for him. And he even has the line, like, I still don't know how to make a car run, but I learned everything I need to know.
Yeah.
Just hold the flashlight.
Absolutely. And that's another type of song that I absolutely love. The imparting wisdom without actually realizing that you're having wisdom imparted upon you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's incredible because this also makes me think about, and part of the reason why I love it so much is it makes me think about my dad working on the boat when I was younger, and I would go out there and help him do that. And so even though I don't know shit about cars and we never worked on cars,
yeah,
the same principle remains. And it's just awesome to just, like, you know, just hanging out with dad. And then, like, I don't remember if he says it in this song or not about, like, you know, like, hearing some swear words and,
yeah,
like, yeah, getting to sip a beer or something
home.
Like that. Exactly.
Like, he told me that mom was the only girl he ever loved, and...
Yeah, it's just really heartfelt, but also a little humor in there. It's just really, yeah, just really great.
Because, yeah, it's like, I still can't make them run, right? But I learned everything. I like, just holding the flashlight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a fantastic song. And actually, apparently, I mean, you'll know this, everyone will know this when this song actually goes up. Apparently, he's releasing a song tomorrow that's an amazing song about...
The one that he was crying.
Yeah,
right?
I think it's when he performed it. It's called Drowning. It's just like something like... The, like, rain come and goes or something like that, but right now I'm drowning. And it's like, it's apparently, I didn't listen to it because I just want to hear the full song when it comes out, but apparently,
yeah,
it's fucking amazing. And so I am looking forward to that, because even though Raised on Country is a terrible song, just listing about how your country, it's a country song, and so I'm hoping that this album is going to be just straight back to country Chris Young, because I'd be very happy, because Chris Young is an amazing voice, and he needs to be singing country music, not this fucking Justin Bieber R&B bullshit.
Seriously, for the love of God.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on, number two is a guy we have already talked about, is George Strait's The Best Day.
Damn, this could be the best day of my life. I've been dreaming day and night about the fun we'll have. Just me and you, doing what I've always wanted to. I'm the luckiest boy alive. This is the best day of my life.
This is just great, because, again, relating things to things that I can think about, but, like, it starts out with just, like, they're either going camping or they're going fishing, and he's just talking to his dad. He's just like, yeah, I just, you know, this is going to be the best day of my life. I've been, you know, I've been dreaming about how much fun we're going to have, just, like, getting to do something with your dad all day or all weekend or whatever, and it's just fucking awesome. And I feel like, if I'm not mistaken, that it also goes through the phases. Like, he gets, like, doesn't he talk about, like, he gets married and he talks about how it's the best day.
Yeah, it's, and then, yeah, it is him, it's him getting married, and yeah, he's saying, like, oh, it's, you, like, I'm looking at my dad, like, he's so happy he's getting married. He's like, Dad, this is the best day of my life. And
yeah,
I just, yeah, like, I've learned from you how to love,
exactly,
loving mom. Like, I know how to do this, and so this is the best day of my life. And yeah, it's
so good. It's,
yeah, George, King George has a couple good songs in his under his belt.
It's almost like there's a reason he started getting called King George.
Yeah, when I went to when I was looking at the number ones, like I said, how Love Without an End, Amen was this. There were like four, or I think it was two or three other years I went to on this day in that year was a George Strait song at number one. It's just like, Jesus Christ. I've said it before when we've talked about how we're doing this segment, is that we're going to have a lot of songs that are by George Strait on it. But yeah.
Yep.
Anyway, number one, songs about Fargers, is Alan Jackson's Drive for Daddy Gene.
Piece of my childhood will never be forgotten. It was just an old plywood boat, the 75 Johnson, with electric choke. A young boy, two hands on the wheel. I can't replace the way it made me feel. And I would turn her sharp, I'd make it whine, he'd say, you can't beat the way an old wood boat rides. Just a little lake across the Alabama line, but I was king of the ocean when Daddy let me drive.
Farger. So, even though I have said this a bunch of times already, one, I'm a sucker for the three-part story song. Two, I am a sucker for the good dad songs, just in general. And three, I am a giant sucker for the songs that can, like, directly relate back to memories I have as a child. This one hits fucking everything.
Because when you were a little girl, your dad let you drive the Jeep.
No. I have two little girls already, and they drive my Jeep.
Oh, there you go. But no, yeah, no, you drive in a boat.
It's, seriously, one of my, like, favorite fucking memories, you know, not just one memory, because I got to drive the boat a fucking bunch of times, but the feeling of getting to drive the boat when you're a kid, and you're like, you know, like an actual, like, young kid, and you're just like, oh, I get to fucking drive the boat, like, the thing, the fucking boat, and he completely nails it about just, like, you know, even though the boat isn't an incredible boat or anything like that, we're not doing anything more than just, like, taking it easier and whatever.
Even though you did have a three-story yacht, but
I did, because we are super rich. No. No, but, like, just, like, he says, like, I'm the king of the ocean when Daddy let me drive. I mean, I never went on the ocean, because we don't live near it.
I think it was he was driving it on a lake, but it's just, like, I felt like I was the king of the ocean.
Exactly. And that's exactly how I felt, just incredible when Dad lets you drive, just makes you feel great, and then just kind of in that moment, like, they trust you, you know, dad trusts you to not fuck everything up, and then just getting to do it, mm-hmm. and just, you know, giving you encouragement, like, you're doing just fine. It just felt like he was fucking singing it to me, mm-hmm. and I'm like, God damn, this is an incredible song.
Yeah,
it's and the fact that, like, this is the song that he wrote after his dad passed as the tribute song, I'm like, oh.
Yeah, because I remember reading about
incredible.
It. He was like, he didn't want to write, like, a sad song because he just wanted to remember the good memories with his dad, and so that's
didn't
how he wrote
this. Didn't want it to be sappy or nothing, but,
oh.
Yeah. Like, I mean, this is my favorite Alan Jackson song. This is also one of my favorite songs of the last, like, fucking 30 years. Like, yeah.
This is an amazing song.
I love this song so much.
Yeah. So that's our 15 favorite Farger songs. If you have some...
What is Farger?
What is Farger? His
Farger.
Farger.
Dad. Farger. Dad is Farger. Dad is Farger. Farger is dad.
Oh, his father.
I don't speak freaky deaky Dutch.
That's right. We're quoting a 20-year-old movie in 2019.
It's 20 years old now?
It's got to be close to that.
Is it?
I'm pretty sure the first one was 99, but this is gold member.
Well, this
so
is
this
gold
is 03, probably.
It probably was 03. Holy shit.
Gold member came out in 2002, so it's 17
oh my
years old.
God.
We're quoting a 17-year-old movie.
The fact that it is a 17-year-old movie is ridiculous.
I know. I remember this movie yesterday.
God.
So good.
I love that movie. I might watch it.
It's so good. I do remember when I was living out there, just one day you're like, yeah, so I ordered the Ospar's trilogy off Amazon.
Regrets? Nope.
No regrets. Zero regrets. That's funny. All right. But yeah, that's our Farger songs. And like people messaged us, we missed the song, I think it was called Mother by William Clark Green last time. So let us know what songs... either that are about dads that you like or that remind you of your dad. If you guys
absolutely.
Send us that shit, maybe we could do a list of songs that people like that or something. I don't know.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. This is by no means, and none of our lists ever are, like, the definitive...
Yes, they are!
You know, infallible ranking of things. It's just the songs that we think of that we care about.
Sometimes dads.
And the things exactly, and the things that I love so much about country music is that it does touch people in different ways. Hey-o.
Hey,
and
me too.
And I think it's awesome to hear people talk about why a certain song makes them feel some type of way. Speaking of things, that song, the Some Type of Way rap song. Have you ever actually listened to that song?
No. What song?
There's a song, and, like, the actual chorus is, like, he says something,
who's
something,
it by?
Something. They said, I fucking have no idea. It's some rap song. But, like, the chorus, the main bit is, like, got me feeling some type of way. And he never actually says anything about how he's feeling. It's just some type of way.
No, yeah. I always feel so weird when people are like, oh, yeah, I'm listening to Little Toaster. It's just like, I'm like, I don't know who that is. Like, you don't know this song? I'm like, no, I honestly don't.
You really don't know.
I know.
I don't know
things.
In the normal sense of, like, pop culture.
You have friends
music.
Who listen to it, though. I don't
exactly.
have friends.
Like, I don't. But I'm like, I don't. All right. Cell phone.
all my friends are in Iowa. You live in Iowa, so you're with them.
Iowa is my friend. But seriously, like, I don't even really know a lot of shit with, like, the super main popular shit. But yeah, you're on a whole different planet.
I genuinely...
Which is, honestly, I'm a bit envious of you because, like, I mean, you would have become aware of Old Town Road eventually. But, like,
yeah.
I remember, like, when I first heard that, and I'm just like, oh. Oh, the future.
Yeah, like, for the longest time, What's band is it that I thought was a... Or no. Is it a person? Or it's a band? Is it Migos?
Migos. It's three people.
I thought it was a person, but it's three people.
Yes. Yes. That is an exact instance of... Yeah, that's exactly right. What
no
I'm talking
idea
about.
What, no idea who's what.
Which is still hilarious, the fact that, like, me relaying this information is still, like, a little bit of the telephone game of, like... I'm feeding you some probable nonsense, most likely.
When I tell, like, my ex, when she broke up with me, she said I listened to country music too much. Like, It's a thing. I listen to country music. It's either country music or podcasts that I'm listening to. Unless I'm working out, sometimes it's like a rap album. Like the Spider-Man and the Spider-Verse album. That thing's fucking amazing. But
you wouldn't dare.
I wouldn't. But yeah, so I listen to country music. That's sue me. But anyway, moving on to the number one country song of this week, but not from this year because this year is terrible. This week, we are doing a song from June 13th through the 27th. It was the number one for 3 weeks, 1987. I don't know if I said that or not. It's Randy Travis's Forever and Ever Amen.
Baby, I'm gonna love you forever. Forever and ever, amen. As long as old men sit and talk about the weather. As long as old women sit and talk about old men. If you wonder how long I'll be faithful, I'll be happy to tell you again. I'm gonna love you forever and ever, amen.
This song, I was listening to it to download it to, you know, put the clip in later, and I forgot how fucking awesome this song is. Like,
I actually listened to this song yesterday when Rod was over, not even realizing that it was going to then be the song we talked about today. So that's kind of funny how that worked
out.
It's
such an upbeat song, and I forgot how, like, I don't listen to Randy Travis that much, but this, every time I do, I'm like, I forgot how fucking great he is. He's on Hey Arnold.
Well, yeah, he's got the incredible voice, but the, like, the effortless incredible voice. Mm-hmm. You know, like, there's certain people when they sing, like, you can tell they're fucking trying.
Yeah.
You know, they're damnedest to make sure they do it. Randy sounds like he could just be, like, talking to you.
He's like a smooth
and it would
whiskey.
Just be silky smooth. You're like, oh.
Yeah, like, I was thinking about that when listening to this. I thought the exact same thing. I'm like, he has, like, a smooth whiskey voice. Like, it is just smooth, and
yeah,
it's so
you take
good.
Drink a real nice scotch, and you're just like, oh,
forever
baby.
And ever, amen. Yeah, I love this.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
Remember when they made songs like this, and they were popular?
I know, right?
What a time
that would have been. It's so weird that people who used to be popular would never be popular today, and people who are popular today would never have been popular back then. Like,
which is hilarious that all the people that wouldn't be popular back then always name drop the ones who are popular from back in the day, even though they wouldn't actually listen to their music.
I always think about that with that Luke Bryan song. I don't remember what it's called, like "Loving You Gone" or something like that. I don't remember what the fuck it's called, but in the thing he says, and she sings "Kiss an Angel Good Morning." I'm like.
Kiss an Angel Good Morning, the Charlie Pride song.
Yeah, and I was just like, for some reason, I was questioning that was the song title. But but I'm like, and I was just like, none of your fucking fans listen to Charlie Pride. They don't even know who he is. They think Lil Nas X is the first fucking black country artist.
Yeah, without getting completely back into that topic, that is a hilarious thing that people just seem to completely forget about the fact that Charlie Pride existed.
Even Darius Rucker, they forget existed or exists.
Yeah. Well, he's Hootie now again, so.
Yeah, Hootie!
Apparently Hootie's releasing new music, and I'm fucking thrilled.
Hootie-hoo!
Oh, I can't wait for more Hootie.
Anyway, so albums that came out last week, there were only two that I saw. I'm sure there were more. I'll look into them later. But first up is Folk Family Revival's Electric Darlin'. It's not a super country. It's a little, like, it's Electric Darlin'. So it's, like, a little electric to it. It's not super country, but it is good, and I enjoy it.
I thought you said Electric Marlin, and I'm like, interesting.
That's a sweet, like, band name.
Electric Marlin?
That's a great fucking band.
Dibs!
Name. Dibs!
whoever's out there is going to steal my great idea, because I'll just think about all the great album covers you could have with just a fucking Marlin with, like, lights and shit on it.
A Tron Marlin.
Awesome.
Since my nickname in college was Clifftron, I want to make a logo for myself that's just Clifford but with Tron shit. That'd be sweet. Anyway, that came out was obviously Luke Combs' EP. We could get into that a little more. So I tweeted it out that if his album sounds like this, I will be very excited for it.
Yes.
Like I said, Beer Never Broke My Heart, it's a dumb song, but it's in the same vein as Beer Can, where it's dumb, but it is a country song.
Yeah.
And so if the album, hopefully that he doesn't do the same thing with the album where it's just these songs and then a couple more, because that was stupid that he did that. But
yeah, that really did bug me.
Because, like we said before also, he had all the songs from that EP except the best one, Used You, which was stupid.
Yeah, because essentially what's happened is he's never actually released an album. He's just released EPs periodically.
Pretty much.
And then he just happened to stick an old EP onto six new songs and then called it an album, but it's really just an EP and then another EP and then, look, another EP.
Yeah. Yeah, so that, like we said, Even Though I'm Leaving is an amazing fucking song.
Yes.
The only song I didn't really care for off of it was Moon Over Mexico. I really wasn't a fan of that song.
Yeah,
it wasn't It wasn't bad. It's just I was listening to it and I'm just like, eh, this isn't really my.
Yeah, and to be completely honest, as much as I am happy that it's, you know, it's country songs and it's, you know, there's no fucking robot voice or any of that. To me, Even Though I'm Leaving is such an incredible song. I really have just been going back to that over and over and over again. I really haven't even re-listened to the rest of it, but that's not necessarily like a dig at the rest of the album. It's just, Even Though I'm Leaving is so incredible, I just keep going back to it.
Yeah. And then I'm looking at the thing, Refrigerator Door was the other one that I really liked from that.
That was pretty good. Yep.
But yeah, so that's what came out last week. I'm sure there's more that I'll find eventually, but, you can hear about all those definitely in depth when we do the Best of June in a couple weeks.
June!
Is there anything else you're listening to or watching or doing or thinking or farting?
Fucking Chernobyl's great.
Oh my God, that show was amazing. Oh
yeah,
God.
If anyone hasn't watched it, you should fix that, because it was fucking
top-notch. It's only five episodes, so you could probably buy it on iTunes for fucking $10 or something. Like,
yeah, it was real good.
Yeah, if you don't have HBO, or if you can get just a 7-day preview or whatever, yeah, it's 5 hours long total. I was blown the fuck away by that show. I remember watching the previews when they first showed them before, like, Game of Thrones or whatever, and I was like, holy crap, this looks really good, but I didn't expect it to be that good.
Oh my God. Because then even, like, after, so I didn't watch it until, like, I don't know, like a week had passed, at least,
yeah, they had
since
all aired
it originally
by the time
aired.
I actually watched it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like, the whole thing had aired, and then, like, even, like, probably another week had passed, so I was able to just literally, like, binge them.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone was talking about how incredible it was, and I was like, all right, really? Like, is it? Like, you people are sheep, and you would say that HBO...
What do you mean, you people?
Like, but then I watched it, and I'm like, wow, fuck, yeah, real good.
So good.
Get on that, world.
Yeah.
Get on that.
So that's it for this week. You can find us at countryhotbox.com, newly renovated, beautiful, amazing site. Do it. I realized when I put it live yesterday, I didn't have a search bar on there, so I was like, whoops. So I had to add a search bar today, because otherwise you can't find shit. But
what do I do?
Yeah, actually, I looked at it. It's actually really cool, because the old search bar we had, you just type it in and then hit search, but now it's the one where it kind of auto-completes it. So, like, I typed in Coulter Wall to test it, and I just got Cole in there, and all of a sudden, all the articles that feature Coulter Wall started popping up below it. I was like,
"Oh, nice!
Actually really cool kind of search thing." So, yeah, see if your artist you want to talk about is on our website anywhere, and you could look at it. But you can also find us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Country Hodgepodge Twitter. I'll be tweeting less because I'm getting off that fucking cesspool of hatred. So it'll mostly be if I ever have to tweet something out, I'll actually have to physically log onto the website from a computer to look at it, because,
like a peasant.
Yeah, because I don't want that app on my phone anymore. On Spotify, you have my Hodgepodgecast Picks, where we upload all the songs we talk about, so you can listen to them all, put it on shuffle. There's over 1,000 songs on there now, so you can listen to all the music we're talking about. Kevin's Picks of the Week. Every week, Kevin puts 10 songs that you should be listening to up. I know this last week had a bunch of great ones you should be checking out. I tweet it out when he uploads it. It's on the website through a link, or if you go on Spotify and search the username Donkey Factory, one word, you can find it. And then also this month in country, where we upload all the albums that come out this month, and then we talk about them, and then they get moved over to to 2019 in country, where you can listen to all the albums that came out this week or this year. And there are a lot so far. Because I went back and actually found ones that came out earlier in the year that I, because obviously we didn't come back to do the podcast till March. So there were 3 months worth of albums that I had to put up there. And so it's a lot of music you can listen to. And then on a link through the site, or if you go to TeePublic, search Country Hodgepodge, we have awesome t-shirts you can buy. I'm actually, I think I forgot, I was going to put up a new one that's like, you know, how they have like the dictionary thing, like where it's like this word, noun or adjective, and then the definition, like the how it looks like professionally. I'm going to do that for Drunkle. So you can get that one. The definition of Drunkle is just a drunk uncle that talks about football a lot. And then it gets louder and louder. Find Kevin on Twitter at CHP_Church, where he talks about how he hates life because the St. Louis Blues have a Stanley Cup.
And I forgot about it for like a nice 45 minutes. So
please rate and review the podcast on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher. I think we're on Google Play. I don't really know. I'm trying to get YouTube working again, but it keeps fucking glitching every time I upload the podcast. So I need to do that, but I also have to upload 90 episodes, which is going to take a long time. But yeah, so we love all of you. Thank you for listening. You are all great. But that's it for this week. Next week, we're going to be talking about Sam Hunt. So until next week, I'm Steve Hodge, as always, joined by Kevin Hodge, saying goodbye, good night, and good Charlotte.